Srila Prabhupada's comments on the Bhagavad Gita chapters. We're up to chapter 16. Chapter 16, this is from 16:1-3. In the beginning of the 15th chapter, the banyan tree of this material world was explained. The extra roots coming out of it were compared to the activities of the living entities, some auspicious, some inauspicious. In the 16th chapter, the Lord explains both the transcendental nature and its attendant qualities, and the demoniac nature and its qualities. He also explains the advantages and disadvantages of these qualities. So this thing on this, the banyan tree, so this banyan tree is a reflection of what's happening in the spiritual realm. It's explained that this banyan tree is reflected on the water of desire. So because we have desire, means other than Krishna, material desire, the spiritual world then reflects on that desire. So it's important to understand that when we become envious of Krishna and the activities going on there and him as the enjoyer, we don't think badly about what's there. We're attracted to it. The spiritual activities, the spiritual atmosphere, relationships, everything, we like it. That's why we're thinking why Krishna should be just the enjoyer. So we want what's there in the spiritual realm. We want all those relationships, we want all those situations and facilities. So therefore, the whole spiritual realm becomes reflected on this material desire. And thus, you see here, in when it's discussed about the banyan tree, it mentions that there's the banyan tree, right, of the material world is explained. It's a reflection of the spiritual world. But it's upside down. And Krishna is not the enjoyer. We're the enjoyer. At least so we think we are. So it's perverted. But otherwise, still you have, you know, someone in a male form in the spiritual realm is called the father, you know, the son or the brother or the husband. Like this, and in the material world, it's exactly the same. It's not that in the spiritual world, the ones that wear the saris, they're called the fathers, and the ones that wear the dhotis are called the mothers, and here, because it's a perverted reflection, so here, then it's the opposite. No, it looks exactly the same. The perversion is that the rasa now does not carry its pure mood. It is not being done for the pleasure of the other person. It's being done for your own pleasure. Right? So this is explained. Then he explains that there are extra roots. Right? So there's just a direct reflection. Then you have all the extra roots. And these extra roots are the activities of the living entities, some auspicious and some inauspicious. So these extra roots are the roots that can take one up or down in material activities in the material world. So the idea is we try to understand, we understand those things, but what we're trying to get to is understand the original reflection. That's what we want. So therefore, only those activities that have nothing to do with karma and yoga, karma, jnana and yoga, we take. And all the other activities that are the extra branches, we're leaving. The extra roots, we're leaving those. Right? So then we're trying to understand what's the original form of the tree. Just like in the morning, you can see, you go inside the temple, especially in Panchatattva's temple. On the water that's there in the temple room, you can see the whole art for the deities, everything. And it's attractive, all the features in there. Now, if you understand that this is just a reflection of the altar, then your perception is spiritual. And, you know, you see the Lord there and then the reflection and it's all adds to the flavor. But if you somehow another thinks this is for me to enjoy, this reflection in the water, and you like the colors, or you like the shimmering effect, or whatever it is like that, and you want to enjoy it separately, then it becomes material. Right? Material world is Krishna's energy. But because we have wanted, we want to enjoy it, therefore it's called material. Because it gives us a non-Krishna conscious result. But if we see it in relationship to Krishna, then we're elevated. Just like we see the reflection of the deities in the water, you understand this is the deity, and you're respectful, then automatically it brings you to look at the main deity. You remember that. It is not an impediment to the service. It's only when you think that it's yours. So many times we think material world's normal, so how can you see it or engage it in Krishna's service? And to them that sounds esoteric. But actually, the real thing is that all this belongs to Krishna, is supposed to be engaged in his service, because it's just a reflection of the spiritual world. But what is weird is that we are trying to see it separately and enjoy it. That's the strangeness. But because we've been here so long, we're conditioned, we start to think that this is normal. So this is all given here in these two chapters. And he also explains the advantages and disadvantages of the qualities, the divine and demoniac natures. So they have points that help us elevate ourselves and points that degrade ourselves. So we should understand this so that we know how to get around this. So, let's see. Okay, so now, in the previous chapter, then we learned that this, the previous chapters, just connecting it here, we learned that that if you act in Krishna consciousness by engaging whatever our nature and facilities we have in Krishna's service, we become elevated. Then we have to have an intellectual understanding, at least, that how we're not the body, the nature of the material world, all these different things. Then one gets detachment. Then we start to see the material world, how it functions, and then what is useful for engagement and what's not. So this chapter gives us now what is useful to engage and what is not. So the divine qualities are useful to engage. Divine qualities, if they're not used in the Lord's service, they're pious, they're nice, but they keep you here. And the demoniac ones, generally, we avoid, because they only create trouble. So now, a conditioned nature, nothing's pure. So that means even in the best person, there's always generally some little bit of something there. So that has to be removed. So we need to be able to identify this, what is there in our own nature. What is divine, what is demoniac. And then work to adjust that. So that's an importance of this chapter. In chapter 17, this is from 1728 purport. Although there is a process of gradual elevation, if one by the association of pure devotees takes directly to Krishna consciousness, that is the best way. And that is recommended in this chapter. To achieve success in this way, one must first find the proper spiritual master and receive training under his direction. Then one can achieve faith in the Supreme. When that faith matures in course of time, it is called love of God. This love is the ultimate goal of the living entities. One should therefore take to Krishna consciousness directly. That is the message of the 17th chapter. So you have all these different processes to gradually elevate yourself, and Krishna's been pointing out how devotional service is the best. So here he makes it very clear. One must approach a spiritual master, receive training, and deepen our faith. Faith is the actual, what is going on in the whole process. Faith is the first thing we start with, Shraddha. So now each of these processes continues as we go. Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, they continue. They don't get less. So we see Shraddha is the first. That means it will have developed the most. Our faith in the nine stages to get to prema, it will have developed so much. So it's a matter of the faith taking us from, we just get some faith in the Lord, then we have more faith, we associate with devotees. We have more faith, we surrender to those devotees and take initiation and start following the process. We have more faith in the process, therefore we go after the anartas. Right? If the faith is not there, we don't look for anartas. I see nowadays many, they profess if someone has done something wrong, that there must be some material, external, visible prayaschitta, that will purify them. Right? And there's not that much faith in the devotional process. It's not that someone's done something outrageous, so now let's see them chanting more, reading more in the temple kirtan. Remember, the old ones was to make them humble, then they swept the road and, you know, cleaned the toilets. Then after that, they did kirtan. They had to be in the 24-hour kirtan and cleaning the temple and, you know, be at all the temple programs. And there was an emphasis on that. Remember that? You'd have to go. That was, you know, but that was back in the days, the ancient days, you know, 15, 20 years ago. You know, that back when the devotional process, chanting Hare Krishna, was seen as the way to purify the contamination. But now I see many feel that doesn't work, so now we have to take up some, you know, more practical, some Christian or some other concept, whatever we have for purification. So if faith is not very great, there is no anartha nivritti. Anartha nivritti comes when you know the holy name can't eradicate these, but the holy name, it is a matter of our attachments. We're attached to all these things. So the holy name may get rid of them, but we put them back in again. They start from desire seeds. So because we're not absorbing ourselves to that degree, it means our faith has to go on another step, that we make that extra endeavor to practice the sadhana, our association, our hearing and chanting and these devotional activities greater. And we start to look for anarthas. We start to dig around for these anarthas. And we see them as these acharyas and the shastras recommend, you know, point out that they're there, these weeds in the heart. And they look just like the creeper. Oh, I'm doing it for Krishna. You know? But I may be doing it for, it may appear on the outside I'm doing it for Krishna. I go through all the steps that you would go through for doing it for Krishna. But if you check in the heart, it may not be. So you can see by symptoms how one gets along with others, one's sadhana, one's, you know, different ways one behaves, dresses, and all these different kinds of things. And one can start to understand actually what is the purpose. You know, like that. So then, when the faith is more, then we're able to remove much of this. Then one becomes fixed in devotional service. Because one's chosen devotional service over the material desires. Material desires are there. When one is removing the nonsense in the heart, then there comes a point where there's a head-on collision with our progress forward and Maya's, you know, trying to test us and stop us. And at that point, you really have to make the decisions. Do I want Krishna or not? So being fixed or nishtha bhakti means that you've consciously made the decision that I am going to do this. Right? We see we did that in the very beginning. We had to make very conscious, you know, leaving previous lifestyles, leaving the home, leaving our country, leaving so many different things. Leaving so many, you know, favorite activities we've been doing for lifetimes, you know, and take up the four regulative principles. All these different things, start chanting, getting so many hours. We made some really serious commitments. Then with time, one becomes quite adjusted with these and quite, practiced, habituated. But, so the habit is good. The practice is good, but we also must have the conscious effort that goes along with that. So if it becomes, the devotional sadhana becomes easy, that means we must have the consciousness that is also totally fixed in that. But sometimes we let the consciousness wander. And if we let it wander, anartha nivritti doesn't really take place very seriously. Because the watering also waters the weeds, and they look the same. Right? So many devotees find themselves, you know, doing so many different things. And that, for them, it's just the next natural step. But it should be that the next natural step is we become more fixed in devotional service. Then when faith is more, that this is the only place where we can get happiness, then we come to ruchi, taste. And when we have more faith and we understand, I'm getting so much taste from hearing and chanting and associating with the devotees and all these different activities that I've been doing. Now, if the, and this is because this is all in connection with Krishna. So then, with that greater faith than in Krishna, then one develops attachment for Krishna. Ruchi means that we develop attachment or taste for the activities concerning Krishna. And asakti means you actually develop attachment for Krishna as a person. Right? Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam bhaja garishakame mama janmani janmani shvare bhavatat bhakti rahitu kitai. We want service. Right? We don't want danam janam sundarim. We have a higher taste. And we want to, life after life, engage in spiritual activities. Now the next verse is attachment. Ainandana tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishvameva vambodo kripaya thava padapankaja stiti duli sadrisham vichanta. You just, oh son of Maharaj Nanda, you know, somehow or another I've fallen into this ocean of material birth and death. You notice here there's no worry how I got here. You know, he's not asking, well, how did I get here? And when you tell me that, then I can consider getting it. No, just somehow I fell in here. I've forgotten you. I fell in here. It was a big mistake. So you please just pick me up and place me as an atom of dust at your lotus feet. That's all. Just something then. That's all. Just some way connected to you. So the very personal, appreciation of Krishna as the Supreme Person, the most wonderful personality, with all the wonderful qualities and wonderful pastimes, and just Krishna is just himself wonderful, then comes. So that means it's more faith. Then, greater faith than that, then the faith develops that you have your, the association with the devotees, our absorption, that we let loose of the material world. Up to this point, you're generally fairly well behaved. But the next point means people who thought you were normal before now start thinking you're crazy. You know, all your relatives and family members and all that. He was perfectly all right before, but somehow or another now he's become nuts. Because he's just always absorbed in. He doesn't care about anything else except chanting and all that. He's not worried about social, you know, he doesn't mind dancing and doing different things, and other people might think this is strange. And he gives up these social restrictions that restrict his natural devotion. That doesn't mean he disturbs anybody. It just means that he doesn't worry about what people will think of him. That's there. For his own self. Then that's different from what people will think about the mission or the spiritual master or his order. This is specific just one's own position. And so that takes greater faith. And then finally that faith matures into love of God. So this is all being pointed out that the faith is the, yeah, when that faith develops, then it comes to love of Godhead. So it's giving a more detail of the devotional process. You know, it's already been confirmed that we've accepted that, now we've gone through the material nature, now in this chapter we're crossing to the spiritual. We've been able to identify, before it was, I am engaging the earlier chapters, I'm engaging what I see of this material world in the Lord's service. Then we see in the 15th, 16th, then we start to see what is the difference between the spiritual and material. Then here in the 17th, we're transferring the attention to the spiritual. So we're not connected to the material world and what is known as the material world. We just see it as a field of activities for serving Krishna. It's Krishna's energy, it's Krishna's activities, Krishna's ability, we are Krishna's, the service is Krishna's, everything is Krishna's. Then in 18th chapter, then from 18.1, the 18th chapter is a supplementary summarization of the topics discussed before. In every chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna stresses that devotional service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life. The same point is summarized in the 18th chapter as the most confidential path of knowledge. As in the second chapter, a synopsis of the whole subject matter was described. In the 18th chapter, also, the summary of all instructions is given. So then here, the 18th, then like in the second, then the whole thing is given. But now it's like in the second, it was like a preview of what is coming, pointing out about devotional service, karma, jnana, and bhakti. But here now it very clearly states that it gives the conclusions. The same over, like a summary, but now it's just giving the conclusions that have been made in all the previous chapters. That just serve Krishna. Man mana bhavamad bhaktam madhyajiman namaskuru. And man and sarvadharmam parityaja mamikam sharanam raja. That you just become, give up all concept of mundane religion and serve Krishna. Surrender to Krishna, become Krishna's devotee. So it gives the conclusion. So any questions on this? Yes.
This last what you mentioned about elevating self from the ex-corporate world, I mean, friends, parents, whatever is necessary. So we come on this level of surrender to Supreme Personality. So this is connected with this another one. What you mentioned before, if you want to, you have your faith and you start to develop your Krishna consciousness, so you accept the reality of what you heard or what Krishna consciousness and reject it, that it's not good. So you put in more faith, more tapasya, more abilities. So then you come in on one level that according to your capacity of surrendering to God, so you start to like to associate more with people who is more elevated. For example, we don't want anymore to spend some time into, you know, this basic kajalpa, or you try to avoid this kind of person, which you was with them before, like a welcome, but now you somehow, you want to separate yourself because you don't want to spend time on these things, which, first of all, doesn't give you any more satisfaction because you get the higher test, and second of all, you know, but simultaneously, how to do that, you don't offend these people, just the big guy, he's the another one, trust me, you know, making jokes of you. And so shall we spend some time with these people, at least to ask them how they are. Because Prabhupada did the same thing, he said,
this is an important point, is that Krishna throughout the whole Gita, especially, is pointing out that the dharma continues, but it's just how you view, how you approach the dharma. It's just like you have friends. Before you had friends for the purpose of just having a good time. The mind can only handle so much Krishna consciousness, you know, and it's in its, you know, wilder stages. Then you know, we sit with friends, we joke, we laugh, we do all these different things. Now, then with time, we want to not do that. So now the principle of being with friends remains. We may start to choose different friends who we find that we can make deeper Krishna conscious relationships with. At the same time as those who were friends before, that maintains, you know, the pleasantries, the this, the that. That's just human exchange, you know. That's just part of the thing. It's just the lighter levels of guhyam akati prichati, you know. Guhyam, we're asking, you know, hidden things like, how are you today, you know. And, you know, how is the wife and kids, and, you know, these are all, it's just the lighter levels of it. You know, I don't know, so it's hidden to me, so I'm asking. Like, I don't know how you are. I mean, I can look and see, okay, the cloth looks clean, looks like it's fairly well together, and the health looks fairly nice, but how you're feeling, all this and that, I don't know. So it's a hidden thing. I ask, you know. So those pleasantries remain. That remains. But we may find that we don't put in as much effort and time as before. And it's also a field where we can test, are we actually advancing? Because there is the stage when we are totally happy with sitting around and talking to japa. Then there's the stage where We are not happy to sit around talking to Jalpa because we have a taste for not talking to Jalpa. But then the difficulty is the stage in between, where we want to give up talking to Jalpa, but we still have a taste, you know, a habit. So then when we're with such people, then the tendency is the conversations will go as how they've always gone. But now any conversation, generally, because it's of the material world, and the material world is all coming from Krishna, there's some way it can be connected to Krishna. So now it's just a matter of how we react and how we respond. So if someone's talking this and that, normally what happens if you notice a conversation between two people who you know, like to be around each other, is that you basically, it's not so much that you're meeting, you know, bodies and intelligence and all that. You're basically meeting minds, you know, minds and, you know, it means if you're eating or something, but minds and ego are seem to be mainly kind of meeting. And so someone says something and is talking on that, and that clicks off something in your mind, and then you say, you generally cut in and then start talking, and it goes off this way, and then they, oh yeah, 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 and then they start off this way, and then you say, oh yeah, and I heard this, and it goes off another way, and it goes all over the universe, and then, you know, you're very satisfied, you know, you covered 15 topics in 10 minutes, and, you know, solved all the problems of the universe, and, you know, all these things, and you're happy. But you don't have to react like that. The person talks all those different things and you just may, you don't have to react. You know? So it's a matter of it's naturally not reacting. Then you know some advancement on our own part is there of actually wanting to give up the jalpa. And if it's kind of like forced and the other person, you know, what's wrong? Not feeling, you know, it's just they perceive that there's something strange, you're not interacting. Then that just means that it's not so developed, it's a little harsh. So that's not so good either. Because then there's the tendency of pride and these kind of things. Like that. So it's just, if it's too weird, you can excuse yourself, find some good excuse like that. But if it's not, then you can just either redirect or you don't have to respond. Like someone says, hey, did you hear this and that? And, yeah. You know, what do you think of this and that? It's, you know, sometimes these things happen. Well, yeah, like, you know, then it's, you're going to find that just gradually with time anyway, the enthusiasm with such a relationship will diminish. Because the point is that closeness is there because both are thinking in the same platform. So if you're not thinking on the same platform and react different, then it's natural that the relationship on that platform of Prajalpa will naturally reduce because you're not a good, you know, good, you don't respond well with the Prajalpa. Then it will naturally go down. It may take a little time. And the person will either change or they'll change the relationship because they may appreciate, you know, make some Krishna conscious comment or, you know, many times you find just by listening more. See, someone only has so much to say on one topic, right? And once they've said whatever they had to say, they don't have anything more to say. That's it. So you find that if you listen more, you also find that sometimes the conversations end. They have an end, you know? And they can only say the same thing. The person has some same thing on their mind, so unless there's new stimulus, they're not going to think in any other way about it. So they can only tell you so many times the same thing. And they themselves get bored. But the point is then that means we have to develop the qualities Krishna talks about. Patience, tolerance, and all these different things. Right? So it still comes back to us if we're able to develop the Krishna conscious qualities. Like that. Does this make any sense? So ultimately, that's the one thing of the whole process. It always keeps coming back to us. Because ultimately, it's us as an individual establishing our relationship with the Guru and Krishna and going back to Godhead. And ultimately, nothing can stop that if we really desire that. Though there can be influence and, you know, if you have good association, one can go up very quickly. If one keeps bad association on one's, you know, it means one doesn't mind, one will go down. But then one doesn't want bad association, but it comes along and one does one's best to try to, you know, avoid and these things, and makes that endeavor, then things will correct themselves. Maya's just like it's like this is how Maya's thinking. You've been talking to Japa all this time. And, you know, even as a devotee with other devotees, you've been talking all these different things. You know, whatever it is, you're either into, you know, generally, you know, money or politics or, you know, something, one of these things. And in her mind is, you've always been, now you're saying you're not interested. So it's her business to test, are you actually not interested? So she will see that people keep coming to talk Pajalpa with you. And then as you take less and less interest in it, you know, and you pray to Krishna that we will be able to overcome this habit, and you try to associate with the other devotees, you know, more as devotees rather than just talking all kinds of things, then when Maya is convinced that you don't want this, she doesn't really offer it anymore, right? Means from her side, it's she has no more to deal with this. It's already passed. Krishna may want to prove something to others, you know, show something, give example. Like many times Krishna does that with the great devotees. He puts them through great, great difficulties and so many disturbances. You know, like one would ask, well, Krishna is the supreme controller. How could a prostitute come and sit in front of Haridas Thakur's door? Mm-hmm. But Krishna wants to show how one who is attached to the holy name, he doesn't have attraction for all these things. Therefore it's arranged. If Krishna had arranged this with anybody else, then they may not have survived. You know? But Haridas Thakur did, because he was advanced. He could deal with that. But otherwise Maya, that's finished. Now she'll look at next things. Okay, now you've done that. Now she'll check for other things. Now have you become proud that you've kind of given this up? You're more serious. You see many times devotees who are... You see pride in those who aren't so serious about the rules and regulations. They say, that's fanatic, you know? And they're proud of their position, that they're very practical, normal, natural, you know, and don't get overly fired up because that's just, you know, fanatic. And you have those who are naturally just very regulated and steady and that, and they're proud of it because they see others are not. So then then Maya will test that. So there's all kinds of things at all these different stages she will test.
I like to analyze the thing. For example, if you imitate the material world, imitate the spiritual world, it's basically the same. You know, there is the people, there is the culture, there is the place where people are doing, acting. So since I learned so many things from material world before, so why not to use it in the Krishna service? So we noticed that one normal town or whatever metropole have places where is the culture place. We have places where people can develop sport or whatever, other kind of, for example, other kind of, you know, intellectual fields to work or whatever, art. You know. So the special group of people going to these kind of special places which they like more. So somebody who's developing this, you go to university or maybe to try to develop some kind of culture. So at this this relationship in between these people, you see, like, for example, when I was reading that Sadaputta also explained about the town should be temple in the center, so she divided the four main roads, each place, like the north, south, east, and west, and according to this, around the temple it will be brahmanas, so the later on, second round it will be kshatriyas, and then later on, the third round will be Vaishyas and of course Shudras, which they're living. So this means automatically it is arranged that those who is more maniacal, they would like to associate with each other and changing these things. So this means this man, he will definitely know to go in another part of the town. So in order to develop this. But since we are such a small community, we're starting now to develop it. Now, if you, for example, you don't have so much the people who is more into this, for developing some culture ideas or whatever is that. Like, the more of them is into other things, then it starts to be like a little bit friction, you know, like an old story. You're just sitting and reading and you're working hard. For example, now, we are a commune of how many people? 500 people, but we are hardly here, maybe 10. So this kind of start to be a little bit, maybe start to make a joke of you, like a trust engine. You know? So then I don't want to avoid, I try to avoid these things in order to somehow to, you know, not to make it offense to other devotees, but still I want to develop my Krishna consciousness.
Well, the point is yeah. It still comes back to the qualities. Now here, Krishna is saying one should do one's duty. So now one's duty means something you're supposed to do. You like it, you don't like it, you have to do it. So that means and every particular, any activity that you have, it has a particular mood and understanding that goes along with it. And you have to accept both. Just like if I want to welcome somebody, I have to be in a mood of welcoming. I can't be thinking, I wish this person hadn't shown up. You know, it's not like the, what do you call it? Is it the joke? Shantipurer Loker Kota. The talk of the people from Shantipur is that somebody knocks on the door, you open the door, and it's one of your relatives, and then you say, next time you come, I insist you must stay and take prasad and stay with us for some time. And then you close the door. So that is not the system. You know? That is not, the mood goes with it. So the whole point is, if someone wants to work hard, that is fine. That means they have the conditioned nature for that. And in that, they must accept all the duties and position of it. So the position of someone who will be doing more physical work, specifically if it's especially for, if it's for economic development, then those who are going to sit down and read the books and teach, the one who works hard has to respect that person. Otherwise, they're not doing the duty. So they can't say that they're doing their duty and you're just sitting around doing nothing. That means they don't understand what their duty is. So they have to educate themselves. At the same time as someone who is more educated understands that in general most people are not educated. Therefore they're more tolerant. They're more peaceful. So that goes along with it. If someone is supposed to be able to sit down and study and all that, then despite all this, they're going to study. It's just like you make all kinds of cracks about a businessman. Ah, you just, you know, do this and that. You're just making so much profit. Oh, you got lax put away like this. And you say so many different things, or you're not giving to the temple. Do they stop doing business? No, it's like water off a duck's back. To do business, you must be callous. Right? You can't worry about, you know, friends, relatives, this, that. You got to make your profit. You may consider, okay, off of friends, relatives, I'll make less profit. And off people I don't know, I'll make more. Right? But you're still going to make profit. Yeah. So in the same way, as someone who their activities is supposed to be more brahminical than that, that's what they're going to do. People criticize, don't criticize. Right? Did Sudama Brahman just suddenly get up and go out and, you know, open up a big business or some big empire because his wife was complaining that, you know, there's nothing around the house and there's holes in the roof and you just sit there and study all day? Did it change him? No. He kept on going. He just kept reading. It wasn't that when the whole house had fallen apart and nothing was there, then only she complained. You can be sure she's been complaining for years. Right? Did it stop him from studying? No. I can remember one person who was, one devotee was telling me, they were, I forget where they were, some farm community, And I think the place flooded, just like here. And this one devotee, who was totally into study, so he was staying in one little hut somewhere, you know, and a little bit away from, you know, not far, but just a little bit away from where the main community was, and that was flooded. So it took 3 days for the devotees moving this, that, and everything before they figured out that this devotee was still in this house and they hadn't heard from him for 3 days. You know, devotees in the main community were eating and doing all these different things. And then somebody, I guess, took a boat or, you know, schlagged over there or something. And the devotee was there reading. And he hadn't eaten in 3 days. And he didn't care. He was so absorbed in his reading, he asked, you know, I mean, you haven't eaten in 3 days. And to him it was like, oh, really, it's been 3 days. No problem. You know, it's kind of like somebody eat great, something not to eat. But it goes on studying. So that makes the thing. If you're whatever you can do despite everybody making comments, that's your nature. And you can continue that. So the point is someone is a Shastriji, he will be a Shastriji even if others complain. That's just his nature. You can't change that. You can engage it in Krishna's service, you can purify it, you don't change it. You can adjust the application, but the principle will remain. So the in the Varnashram, one level is considered higher than another because of the modes of nature. And Krishna himself points out the three modes and says that things in the mode of goodness are considered better than passion and ignorance. Therefore, the brahminical qualities will be given higher respect than the kshatriya qualities, which are higher respect than the vaishya, higher respect than the shudra. But they're all human qualities. You know? So we're talking about regulated human beings, which are very rare. Right? So, like that. The problem with Varnashram is it always comes back to the individual must purify himself, elevate himself, and educate himself. This is the one difficulty with easy implementation of Varnashram. Because it's not just you have some meeting, say a few things, and everybody just goes out and does something. Because you can't just put everything in little blocks and squares and say, okay, you this, you that. That's the problem that comes. Devotees try to put them in little blocks and squares, and oh, this one's shudra, this one's this, that, and they get all bent out of shape. There's a whole culture, a whole interaction that's there, you know, that goes on, you know. And devotees need to educate themselves in these things. Then it becomes easier to interact. Varnashram means a code of conduct, how you know how to react and respond and interact with everybody in the community. That is the purpose of it. In other words, the purpose of Varnashram is how to establish proper rasa to be engaged in Krishna's service. That's what it's for. And devotees are looking, dying for emotional exchange between each other. But they won't accept, or they have difficulty accepting the process that's going to satisfy that desire. Because it means they themselves have to change. Each individual has to change. But the demoniac quality is, it's someone else's fault. I'm okay. I can't do things because someone else is bothering. Nothing to do with me. You know, it's not that I'm being nasty and not dealing with everyone properly. This one's doing this to me. This one's obstructing in this way. So many different things are going on. The management doesn't, give me facility. But we never see that, well, maybe I'm not acting in such a way that I'm endearing myself to people. So it's like the management has to change. The community has to change. The nation, the world, the universe. But I will remain as I am. You know, Krishna, you got to accept me as I am. I can't change. So this makes for a difficulty. Therefore, those who have that problem, they would work outside Varnashram, in the forest. It means those who could follow Varnashram lived in the cities and communities. Those that couldn't lived in the forest with other such people. And one would think, well, maybe they can't get along. But I'm telling you, they get along very well. I've always been amazed at seeing, like in the Gurukul, kids, especially brothers. But they can't stand each other. Whenever they're with each other, they fight, they yell, they scream, they this and that. But they can't live without each other. Because their nature is so similar, they got to be with someone else who's also nasty and this and that and can't follow anything and is crazy and exploits and says bad things. We had two kids. They both had very strange, how you say, shapes of their head. Right? And each one would call the other by some funny name, you know. But you got some, you know, potato head or something like that, and the other one would call him back, you know, and like that. So they would just harass each other because of their physical features. At the same time, you couldn't separate them. I've seen this so many times. Brothers that have wild, crazy qualities, you can't separate them. Well, you see boys from boys that are more gentle and cultured and all that. Sometimes in the school, it's been 2 or 3 years before I knew that they were brothers. Because they were already in school when I came, or, you know, someone else admitted them into the school. So I didn't know they were the same family. Because they, you know, now and again they might bump into each other and talk to each other and this and that, but they weren't just physically attached to each other just because they happened to be brothers. You know? Like that. Because the relation was very different. So one doesn't have to worry that those who find difficulty following the Varnashram, they can't come up to that level of intimate association between human beings, then they'll be very satisfied living outside in their own communities where they deal with each other how, you know, all over the world people are dealing with each other. Like that. So ultimately it comes back to the individual. This is the difficulty. It's the same difficulty with the devotional process. I have to develop faith in the name. I have to develop faith in the sadhana. I have to actually practice it. I have to make that endeavor. I have to try to improve the quality. So sadhana is a higher platform, and that's there. It'll naturally be reflected in the lower, where we're taking care of our emotional and physical needs. Same principles are there. I have to know who I am and how to relate to others. I have to know what is the platform of respect and how to respect others. Does that make some sense? Like that. And then I know who I am. I know how each member and place in the community, what is their position, how they interface with each other. Then I can actually become a good member of the community. Because I know how to relate and act with everybody else. Because I know who I am. That. Then it works. You know? Then it works very nicely. Like you see, even in the Western thing, in the house you have a dog. Now, a good dog knows they're a dog. So they know what their limits are. They know what they do, what they don't do, and all that. Because they've been trained. You know, they sit on the floor, they eat under the table, and this and that. You know, and dogs that don't know that, they're spoiled. And they think that they're one of, you know, bigger than what they are. And then they disturb. Maybe the family members don't mind, but when anybody else comes from outside, they figure this dog's out of place. So when a dog knows his place, he becomes part of the whole scene. Right? He becomes part of the whole complete picture. But if he's not, then he becomes overbalanced, and he disturbs the whole picture. So when everybody in the community knows who they are and how to relate with others, then you won't have any difficulties in the community. It'll be very minimal. And you have ways, there's rules how you deal with these things. That makes some sense? So it's a matter of education. So that's really, you know, this is part of the process, probably recommended, hearing, chanting. So we associate with devotees, we hear, we read, we study, then we learn. And then it becomes very, very nice. You know? Then, whatever your position, you know, learn how, and the Gita tells us how to engage that in Krishna service. Right? Like, let's say we're the, you know, the head of a family. So we now know how to do our duty as a head of a family, maintain the family, but do that in connection with Krishna. So that's what the Gita is advising us. But not with the purpose of just, or it's not the purpose of raising a family. No, we have these attachments. So through the medium of raising a family, we're trying to get ourselves to the transcendental platform. Therefore, what the Gita says, what the Bhagavatam says, of all the pitfalls of this, of material engagement, we see. Like we read the forest of material enjoyment. And as we go through our household life, we see it happening right before our eyes. Right? But we know these are the pitfalls of this. We cannot become attracted or overwhelmed by these. So then step by step, we start to be able to do what it is saying here. We separate between the material and spiritual. What are the actual spiritual relationships? How the material relationships, are we working them properly according to the rules and regulations? Then it starts to function very nicely and you become realized. The husband, the wife, the children, they all become realized. So it becomes a medium through which one advances. Right? Arjuna is advancing in his devotional service by fighting on the battlefield as a kshatriya. Now he's fighting for Krishna. Does that mean now when the battle starts, he doesn't shoot arrows at the feet of Dronacharya and at Bhishma to offer them respect? Right? He shoots two arrows, one for each foot. Right? Doesn't hit the foot, in front of the foot. Right? Does he not do that? It means before all this is spoken, everything now, Arjuna is ready to fight, everybody's going to fight. Then what happens? Yudhishthira takes off his armor, takes off his crown, takes off his shoes, gets off his chariot, starts walking towards Duryodhana's army. Then Bhima sees this, so he does the same. Arjuna sees, he does the same. Nakula Sahadev, they also do the same. So you have this whole crew walking across. Duryodhana is sitting laughing, thinking, I just see they've come now, they've come to surrender, they've understood how great our army is and all this, and so now they've come to surrender. So they walk in, they walk right by Duryodhana and everybody, they walk right up to Bhishma, offer obeisances, walk around him three times, touch his feet, and say, you know, that, you know, we've come to offer our respects before the battle. And Bhishma is so happy with this, because it's not in the mode of passion that they're just starting this battle, that they want to win the kingdom and all that like Duryodhana. They're following the Dharma. They're respecting their elders, their teachers, their mentors. Bhishma has brought them up. Drona and Kripa have taught them. So they go to each one of them and they ask them. And because they please him in this way, by service as the student or as the junior, then they as the parent respond. Or they as the senior respond. This is rasa, right? You bring one aspect of rasa in its proper form, and the other side responds. Even if you bring in its improper form, the improper will respond. Rasa means that something that creates a response. You have a response and something that creates that response. You do something in some way, you get a response out of someone else. Like if I go up to someone and I'm very nice, generally they'll be nice to me. I go up to them very rough, they'll be rough back. Right? So they go with this mood, following the Dharma, and they get the blessings of this. This is rasa. Someone would say, well, why do I have to go through all this? We're just, it's a war. Well, come on, we're pragmatists. Let's just start, get it over with. You can do that as long as you don't care a damn for rasa. That's the point. We're so practical that we couldn't care less for rasa. Exchange between devotees. And then It's such a strange thing. We'll in the same breath criticize everyone else for not creating an environment in which everybody can interface with each other. Though we do not want to go through the process that creates it. Right? So they come, they offer their respects, they ask, then Drona and Bhishma and Kripa, they say, we want to give some, ask some blessing, we want to give blessing. And they say, we simply want to know how we can kill you. It's a war. So in the war, we're supposed to fight with you and kill you. So then each one of them tells how they can be defeated. Because otherwise, how they can defeat them. That's the point. They say, we cannot defeat you. We're your students. But in this battle, we're supposed to defeat you. So how can we defeat you? So they even take instruction from their teacher how to defeat them. Like that. So the methods, how they were killed, was given by themselves because of the affection. Therefore, they didn't mind. Bhishma was happy. If he's going to be shot, he's going to be shot by the best. He's the best. There's no one on the planet who can fight with him. He's trained in this in the heavenly planets. No one. Plus, he is the real Kshatriya. Who is there? Duryodhana? They're not Kshatriyas. Right? Who has the... means externally they're Kshatriyas, but the mood of a Kshatriya they don't have. They're crass, uncultured. Kshatriyas are very cultured people. So he's going to be shot. He's going to leave this world as a Kshatriya on the battlefield. Right? And that's going to happen by Arjuna. Right? So that is the point. It's all rasa. So him telling how he'll be shot, him being shot by Arjuna, then laying on the bed of arrows. Then you see others came. His head needed to be propped up. He's going to speak. Duryodhana and his brother. The others, was it Duryodhana? No, it wasn't Duryodhana. It was others. They just went and got pillows. Yeah, it was Duryodhana.
Yeah.
But he rejected them. Arjuna shot 3 arrows in the ground. Bhishma said yes. He knows the heart of a Kshatriya. Right? It's the chivalry. It's the protection. Duryodhana just thinks it's the enjoyment. I do all this work, I manage the place, I get the tax, I enjoy it. So he's not a Kshatriya. You know? He's a businessman. Through Kshatriya nature, he does. That's why Krishna unseats him from the throne. He's unqualified. Right? Arjuna knows. Yudhishthira knows. He wants water. They go to bring him all nice, fancy, this, that, so many arrangements. Arjuna just shoots an arrow in the ground and the Ganga comes. So he knows the nature. This is rasa. Right? So the whole point is you want to exchange with people. You're feeling dissatisfaction because my relationships with the other devotees aren't working properly. Generally, it's because we're not following the system of exchange, of rasa. Because we don't know who we are, we don't know who the other person is, we don't know how to exchange with them. Either on as devotees, or even within our varnas, our ashrams. Right? If you can't understand the varnas and ashrams, no question you can understand the devotional platform. Because it's a higher platform. It takes more intelligence to understand that. Prabhupada taught us, everyone's devotees, respect everyone, offer obeisances to everybody, like that. Do we do? Right? So therefore, then we're criticizing this one doesn't, you know, get his hands dirty and grow carrots and sits around reading scriptures all the day. What a useless waste of time. Right? Attached Vaishyas and Shudras might say that. Or demoniac kings, right? It means the mudhas will say that because they got to go out and work hard. They have no time for this stuff. The Naradhamas will say that because they can make more profit if they don't, you know, unless you can make profit in Gita, then there's nothing, you know. The Mayaya Pritagyanas aren't into it. because they're busy furthering spiritual, I mean material advancement by their intelligence. And the asuras, the demoniac kings, definitely don't want it. Like that. So from that platform, one could say those things. But from a devotional path, a pious platform, I work hard. I don't have that much time to study. But I want to get all the benefits of studying. So therefore, I will encourage, I'll even support, I'll give donations to those who can sit down and study all day. Because then they will teach me, after they've read through, you know, the whole, so much scriptures, then after they can give me the conclusions. So it would take me, you know, probably lifetimes to read because I don't have time because I'm very busy making economic development. Then I can go and listen for a small amount of time every day or whenever I can and get these conclusions that they've spent years getting. So what a benefit. So this is for pious people who want to go back to Godhead. Right? Therefore, that mentality. So you won't come up. Therefore, Krishna, this is a book for, you know, removing the doubts, the anarthas. So the demoniac nature is also within us. So we have to watch that our natures, demoniac natures as mudhas, mayaya pratijnanas, you know, asuras, you know, naradhamas, doesn't come up. Because if we don't develop the Krishna conscious side, that's the other side. Krishna doesn't say there's the pious, the impious, and then there's something else, and then there's Americans. Right? He says there's the pious, there's the impious. That's all. It means whatever your mentality is, you're turning to Krishna because of anxiety for material wealth. You're turning to Krishna just because of anxiety of the material world. You're interested in knowledge and you're inquisitive, you turn to Krishna. You actually want to establish, understand, and know your relationship with Krishna, you're turning to Krishna. These are the four mentalities of a pious person. Right? And the impious, the mudha thinks, I go out and work, at the end of the day, I get my money. I work, I get my money. What do you need Krishna for? Right? Maya, the Naradhama, he's busy manipulating the material nature, making great profit, very sophisticated, staying in five-star hotels and flying around the world wearing his three-piece business suit. Well, he doesn't need any. He's got it all together. What does he need Krishna for? Mayaya Pratijnanas, they got brains. They'll work out how to, you know, get around Krishna. And the Asuras, they got the power. What do they need Krishna for? So this is, Krishna gives these eight mentalities. We fit into one of those eight. Right? Or a combination. Because in this age, everything's quite mixed up. So it may be a combination. And we have to, in other words, anarthas means it's coming from the four impious sides. Right? The gross anarthas. And then we find the subtle anarthas are there from the pious side. Therefore, Krishna is saying that both the sinful and the pious must be given up. But it's a mood. Because we see everything externally, we think the external is given up. That comes when the internal is accepted. Right? You physically leave something when internally you've changed. Otherwise, if physically I leave something, if internally I don't change, I'll again take that physical thing again. Right? So Krishna spends so much of the Gita pointing out the subtleties in the heart. How even in the gross material nature, it's not just what you see. It's Krishna inside. Like we see this light bulb. We just see, okay, there's light bulb, there's a filament, there's a you know, electric line, there's a generator. So that's why it's on. But no, that power of lighting is coming from the Brahman, the reflection of the Brahman. Right? So Krishna is pointing out that there's something more than what meets the eye. Something more than what meets the eye. So also in this is there's more than meets the eye in just all our social dealings and everything like that. Is that even in the pious, the impious, it's not the activity, it's how you're doing it. The mudha and the artarti. Is that it? Artarti is anxiety or artarti is money? So artha. So artha and the mudha are doing the same exact work. But one has a demoniac mentality, one has a pious mentality. But ultimately both got to be given up. But the pious mentality, from there you can take up devotional service because you accept God, you turn to God. So Krishna says these four pious people surrender, the other four don't. So, but ultimately we have to give up the idea we've gone to God just because I want my anxieties to go away. As we develop, then we think, well, how do we get rid of Krishna's anxieties? Krishna's got an anxiety that all these people in the material world are rotting and they're not serving. So I want to relieve Krishna's anxiety by preaching or taking some part in some way and doing whatever I can. So that comes with time. That makes the difference between the Kanista and the Madhyam. The Madhyam worries about Krishna, right? While the Kanista worries about himself. So even the piety must be given up, but the service is not given up. The duty, the prescribed duty is not given up. See, this is the thing. Krishna is pointing out there's prescribed duty, there's piety, there's impiety, there's devotional service. So the whole point is he's saying, do your duty in devotional service, not for piety or impiety. Right? So this is where it becomes difficult, because our tendency is you throw out one thing, we throw out the whole thing. You know, the bathwater is dirty, we throw out the baby that also made it dirty. Right? This bathwater is dirty because there's a baby in it. If the baby hadn't been in this water wouldn't be dirty. So I throw out the water and the baby. Right? No problems. No dirty baby. To make the bath water, I don't have to worry about water anymore, because I only needed the water because the baby was dirty, but the baby makes the water dirty. So get rid of both, problem solved. Right? But now, where is the rasa? Where is the exchange? And then we complain, where is the exchange? And naturally it's not my fault, it's someone else's fault. I was just being practical. You know, you had dirty water and a dirty baby and I threw them both out. So now, that means we have some idea of an alternative other than what Krishna has created. And Krishna does give you that place. You want to be happy, but throw out baby bath water and anything you can get your hands on. It's called the Brahman. You don't have to worry about changing yourself, because you're just Brahman. You don't have to interface with anybody, you don't have to worry about anything. Peaceful. So that's the option for those who don't want to follow anything. Right? That's the thing. Someone's impious. With time they become pious. Then they endeavor as pious, they endeavor for sense gratification. They're frustrated. Then they endeavor for liberation. Because they're going about it without devotional service, without following Krishna's order, they're frustrated. So therefore they go for the Brahman. And if that doesn't work, then they go out of the Vedic, because they consider that didn't work for me, so I'll go non-Vedic, I go into Buddhism or Jainism. Right? Yeah, Vita Raga Bhaya Krodha, right? Raga, attachment, Bhaya, envy, or the desire for Brahman and all that, and then Krodha, anger. Buddhism is angry with the whole thing. Void, right? At least the impersonalism is positive. But the Buddhism is negative. Void. Get rid of all of them. So then we just take up non-Vedic. Right? So if we see that kind of a pattern, one gives up sinful life, one takes up Krishna consciousness, one endeavors, one sees that one's not getting result, then one throws out things that makes it work, and then takes up, you know, non-Vedic paradigms. Now, Does that look similar? So Krishna's created the place. We can only move through things how Krishna's created it. We can't create our own. We think we're creating our own, but that's just Maya's illusion. Krishna's got it all worked out. It's just, it's very difficult for the unregulated mind to accept regulation. So normally what would take through the Varnashram system, what Krishna talks about, maybe millions of lifetimes to transfer from impious to pious, and then from pious into, you know, karma into jnana, and then from jnana into actual bhakti. You know, it could take you a long time. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, we've been at it since time immemorial, and we've still not gotten anywhere. You know? I mean, it's been a long time. So, we come to devotional service. So it's understood. One who has actually taken devotional service has already done all this in the past. So now it's just getting rid of that condition. We've done all that in the past, means we've spent all of our time in karma, jnana, yoga, and sinful activities. Now we've come to devotional service. Our habit is that. We're just beginning devotional service. So we have to get rid of all those habits. So Krishna gives us the method. Engage a conditioned nature in his service without attachment. Then it becomes nice. But if we just throw it out, we've already tried that. All the non-Vedic philosophies and all that, it's already the mentality of throwing it out. Yeah. Like that. So it didn't work. Hasn't worked in millions of lifetimes, so it's not going to work now either. So it's just a matter of the mind accepting that we have to follow. And the difficulty is we're suddenly going from, Krishna says, the quickest thing is just take up devotional service and purify your nature, whatever it happens to be in this life, and go back to Godhead. But that takes some great determination. You know, we have to have that make that determination, that faith, that even though I have all this conditioning I have to give up, I can do it by just devotional service. So I engage my nature in devotional service. So this is the whole point that Krishna is trying to get across. You know. So we have to be very careful not to be bewildered by non-Vedic, by sinful, or even by pious activities, but perform the prescribed duties for Krishna's satisfaction, out of duty, no attachment, not thinking we're the doer. And that takes practice. That takes good association. That takes study. So if you can sit down and study and teach people this, then they should be happy. And if you have that understanding that that's what it's for, you can do it. Otherwise, if it's just for yourself to study, then the tendency will just be go somewhere else where you feel you can sit down and study. But then that also cuts off relationships. So ultimately we understand material world's bad place. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's not meant for anyone who's gentle, cultured. It's not meant for that. And so Arti is starting, so we'll end here. Yes. So, okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.